The minister and the deputy minister are voting.
You acknowledge that I didn't see you coming.
And the minister as well.
I'm sorry.
No.
Yeah, the presentation will cover broadly three areas. Honorable Chair, with me, I have the CEO who will go through the APP and the CFO will go through the financial part. I will only deal with the strategy part. So the purpose really of our presentation is to present to the committee the strategic plan for the MTSF, the annual performance plan, the budget allocation of the institution, and the challenges have already been dealt with by the chair. Now, as a form of the introduction, the president appointed the new board effective from the 1st of March 2019. And the new board came immediately after the finalization of the current strategy and the APP. The new board is currently crafting a new strategic plan, which will span the next MTSF starting from 2021. And that new strategic plan that the board has started crafting will incorporate three of the seven SONA priorities, that of spatial integration, human settlement and communities, social cohesion and safe communities, and a capable and ethical developmental state. These three have a direct and indirect impact on the work of the MDP. The new board, as indicated, is having 10 members. The chair, Mr. Magnoni, the deputy chair, Ms. Mieni, with us here, and Ms. Jane Tupana, Albert Kekesi, Unapula Mtuhelo, advocate, Krista Pelfrain, Nokadin, Temba Duwazana, Ms. Matthew Mwoki, Dr. David Muhale, and Namso Baliso. Those members, the chair has recently appointed them to be responsible for various provinces. If you can just go back to that slide again. The deputy chair will be responsible for KZN. Mm-hmm. Ms. Jane Tupana will be responsible for Limpopo. Mm-hmm. Mr. Albert Kekesi will be responsible for Northern Cape. Advocate Munapula Mtikalo will be responsible for Gauteng. Ms. Krita Pelfrain Nakedin will be responsible for Western Cape. Mr. Temba Duwazana will be responsible for Mpumalanga. Ms. Masia Mwoki will be responsible for Northwest. Dr. Muhale will be responsible for Free State. And Ms. Namso Baliso will be responsible for Eastern Cape. Chayu will realize that the board is a 50-50. We have achieved that through the appointment that the president has made. On the issue of institutional arrangement, the board is led by the chairperson who discharges his duties through six committees. One is the governance, social, and ethics committee, which is chaired by the chairperson of the board. We have the Human Capital Committee, which is chaired by Ms. Krita Belkhren Nakedin. We have the Audit and Risk Committee, which is chaired by an independent member, Mr. Kuvadia. We have the Boundaries, Powers and Functions Committee, which deals with the core mandate of the board in terms of redetermination, which is chaired by Ms. Jane Tupana. We have the Knowledge Management and the Information and Communications Technology Committee, which is chaired by Dr. Muhale. We have the Public Participation and Stakeholder Engagement, which is chaired by Ms. Matthew Mulki. The administration is led by the CEO with those four programs: administration, demarcations, research, and public participation. In terms of the constitutional mandate of the board, the mandate of the board is primarily derived from Chapter 7 of the Constitution, specifically Section 1553B of the Constitution, which provides that national legislation must establish a criteria and procedure for the determination of municipal boundaries by an independent authority, while Section 1574 provides that if the electoral system includes ward representation, the delimitation of wards must be done by an independent authority appointed in terms of and operating according to the procedures and criteria prescribed in by national legislation. In terms of the legislative mandate, the board has got four broad mandates. One is the determination of municipal outer boundaries, which is supported by Section 4A of the Demarcation Act and Section 4 of the Municipal Structures Act. The delimitation of municipal ward boundaries is supported by Schedule 1 of the Municipal Structures Act, and the assessment of municipal capacity, which is what the chair has been indicating, that this is one area where we realize that the players in the municipal space are not necessarily using the capacity assessment that we have in various municipalities, and we just released the report recently, and we have the reports in all the 249 municipalities except for the metros. The last core mandate of the board is rendering of advisory services to the stakeholders. Now, Honorable Chair, we have decided just to give you the snippets of the 18-19 targets achievement. Is currently a pre-audited, unaudited statement. The main deliverables that we have achieved in the 18-19, we have finalized the municipal outer boundary boundaries and handed them to the IEC in August 2018. What has happened is that the previous board took a decision to just do technical alignment here and there and not necessarily do major redetermination. And that particular process was concluded in August 2018 and handed over to the IEC for the elections that we are just coming from. Secondly, we have finalized the spatial boundary descriptions for 57 municipalities. Just to indicate that here what we are doing as the board, we are defining a point-to-point description of where these municipalities are located, because what we have realized with the database that we are utilizing from either the Surveyor General and any other agencies that are operating in our space, you find that the point-to-point description of a municipal boundary is not really defined as it should be defined. So we took a decision to do for all the municipalities in the country, and for the last financial year we were doing 57 of those. We have, as indicated, assessed the capacity of the B's and C's, the municipalities, to perform their powers and functions. That is the report that I said is already available, and the board will be moving around provinces presenting to MECs to say this is the outcome of what we have seen in some of the municipalities. We have conducted outreach programs to strengthen public and stakeholder awareness and education of demarcation processes. This is one part which is very soft but very important. I'm saying very soft, but it's very important because in the last 20 years, the board never did actual participation because of lack of resources. The department gave us some resources around the end of 2017, around 3.5 million, and we were able to do public education. And on the issues that I've referred to that we have handed to the IEC in 2018, we didn't receive any objection to the technical redetermination that we did because of the public participation processes that we have done. We have also hosted a conference on the 20 years of demarcation and produced a book reflecting on the contributions, experiences, and the lessons that have been learned over those 20 years. And the new board is using some of those lessons to craft the new strategy for the next MTSF. Honorable Chair, the summary of the unaudited performance is that at the moment we seem to have achieved 96% of our predetermined objectives, and only 4% that we have not achieved. In terms of the current strategy, our vision is to be the leading demarcation authority. And our mission is to deepen democracy and to facilitate socio-economic transformation of the country for the benefit of our citizens through issues of determination, ward boundaries, advisory services, and hoping that we achieve the special knowledge hub that we envisage. Our values are impartiality, transparency, excellence, inclusivity, and integrity. In terms of our strategic goals, we have four strategic goals. Good corporate governance, quality demarcation processes and outcomes, quality research, sound advisory and knowledge management services, and meaningful public participation. And within the good corporate governance goal, we have got two strategic objectives, that of strengthening the corporate governance environment, looking at sound financial management, and in the quality demarcation process and outcomes, we have got two strategic objectives, one of conducting the determination and redetermination of municipal boundaries, the delimitation of wards for all municipalities that qualify to have wards, and in the goal of quality research, we have a strategic objective around conducting assessment of municipal capacity and also conducting research in order to render the advisory services, which is part of our mandate. And lastly, the strategic objective on meaningful public participation is to enhance public participation, education, and awareness. From the Honorable Chair, I will invite the Chief Operating Officer, Rwani Ramagaza, to just take us through the annual performance plan, after which he will take us through some few slides, after which I will invite the CFO to just talk about the medium-term expenditure framework for the next 3 years. And they will skip one slide on the challenges because the challenges have been dealt with by the chairperson. And then the CFO will then conclude with the concluding remarks.
Where's the CEO? I think you need to move closer to the mic.
Good morning to everyone and to the chairperson, the committee members, the minister, the deputy ministers present, and all the colleagues that are here. We appreciate the opportunity. Yes, in terms of the annual performance plan for 2019-20, the CEO has already spoken about the programs that are there to make sure that we deliver on the strategy. I want to sit on them because it's already taken a bit of time of explaining each one of them. As a way of summary, I'll get into the details. In terms of strategic objectives, we would want strengthen the corporate governance environment. We've got six targets for the next for the 19-20. Sound financial management, we've got five. Determination and redetermination of municipal boundaries, we've got two target indicators. On the ward delimitation, we've got two. On the assessment of municipal capacity, we've got one. On the research side, we've got two indicators. On the public participation, education, and awareness, we've got two. In total, we've got 20 indicators for 19-20. Just to get in a bit into the detail, I won't dwell much on these, otherwise it will take a lot of time. But I did say that on the first one, which is more about the MGP itself as an institution, we've got six. But you can see we've got one that talks to implementation of board resolutions, monitoring, compliance, organization performance, review sessions that we do, ICT governance issues, and the occupancy rate of the institution, although we're a relatively small institution, but we think it's important that we should maintain that. But also, that is something that relates to communication, which is very closely linked to our public awareness and education. It's media campaigns that we run in support of our main programs. With regards to sound financial management, you can see we're very optimistic. We want to make sure that our audit opinions are positive by all means. So we've got an indicator that relates to that. We've got two of them actually. But then we also have the one that says annual strategic risk register developed by target date, because this is very important to manage risk in institutions, although in most cases you find that in public institutions it's one of the areas that is not. But we're very optimistic. We want to make sure that we manage our risk at all times. But also in terms of monitoring our budget performance, and also something that relates to supply chain management, it's very critical that we keep our tabs on those aspects. And relating to redetermination, which is part of the core, the CEO has already spoken about the spatial boundary descriptions project that we're doing. We're continuing actually from the previous year. I will not talk much about that because he spoke about why and the intentions thereof. In the 1920, we're just proceeding with targeting 57 municipalities. And we have a policy on municipal boundary determination, which we are going to be reviewing this year after our the 30 years been in existence. We've learned a number of lessons. We've had in the period a number of conferences that gave us a number of lessons that we would want to update in the policy. And then we've got most importantly, probably for this committee, the ward delimitations as we start preparations for the next local government elections. In this financial year, 1920, we've got two targets. The first one is we will produce first drafts, very important for public consultation processes. It's not necessarily legislated, but what we do, we produce first drafts towards in collaboration with the municipalities. This is then the product that we take to the public for consultation. And the second target then talks to how we are going to be consulting on those draft boards. That's what we intend to achieve in this financial year. And then in as far as we get to municipal capacity assessment, the CEO and the chairperson have already indicated that we have done that last year. The reports were launched early this year. But what we are doing as well, which is very critical, we think, for the sector itself, we are looking at all the federal 4B and 5B powers and functions to see if nationally we've got any norms and standards, and as far as that relates to capacity of municipalities. Because it's another thing to assess, but it's also another thing for the municipalities to know what kind of capacity they are supposed to build. So we are doing that for that work. We are looking at specific functions. With regards to enhancement of public participation, we've split that into two because we think it's critical. There's a part which is focusing on the public, which is that first target, and there's one that is targeted specifically at our stakeholders, because both of them are very critical in this regard. And those are our indicators for the 1920 financial year. And our main focus, as it's already been mentioned, is what delimitations, which we are going to be starting this particular year, and the spatial boundary description, but also the outreach programs that we're going to be running in as far as that relates to public and stakeholder engagement. And this is the part where I would ask my colleague, the CFO, to proceed.
Thank you to the members of the committee, the minister, the deputy ministers, and colleagues. Sorry. I'm going to go through our budget for the medium term. We have funds, our revenue rather, for the next financial year, it's 57 million. And that amounts to 181 million over the medium term. The expenditure for our current payments, which is comprised of compensation of employees, goods and services, and CAPEX, is 176 million, or rather for goods and for compensation of employees and goods and services, 176.5 million over the medium term. For the current financial year, that is 54.5 million. And that current payment is made up of compensation of employees and goods and services. Our compensation of employees is 98.4 million over the medium term. And then when it comes to our CAPEX, for the next financial year, we've got 2.8 million. And 5.2 million over the medium term. And when it comes to relating the expenditure with our strategic goals, we've got four programs as Alwan has presented. For administration for the next financial year, we've got 38 million as our budget and 120 million over the medium term. And for our core business, demarcations has got 11 million for the next financial year, and or rather for the current financial year, and 36 million over the medium term. Research is 2.4 million for the current financial year, 8.2 million over the medium term. Stakeholder is 3.5 million and 12 million over the medium term. As the chairperson has already indicated, we are grossly underfunded. And we have been having discussions with the department and National Treasury to increase our funding so that we can be able to effectively execute our constitutional mandate. It's a bit difficult at the moment with the funding that we have. As I've indicated, for the whole financial year, we only have 57 million to limit work, to do special boundary descriptions, and to do stakeholder engagement. Our stakeholder engagement is not up to the level that we want it to be, because we don't have sufficient funding. We are not able to do effective and efficient public awareness due to funding constraints. And as has already been indicated, we've done three job evaluation, and the results always come up the same. We are grossly underpaying our employees, and as a result, we are always losing competent talent at MDB. So we always have new people that we have to retrain, and the work that we do is highly specialized. So when we lose our skilled employees, it takes us back when we have to retrain new employees. As a conclusion, the new board is looking forward to interacting with the new committee to exercise the legislative review process that we have started to present the outcomes of the assessment of mental capacity, to brief the committee on the broader mandate of the organization, and to provide details of the work delimitation process. And we would like to wish the members of the this parliament and the portfolio committee success in your work for the next 5 years. And we remain in full support to the committee and its endeavor to take local government to greater heights. Thank you.
Thank you, CFO. We want to thank you for your concluding remarks. I wonder if you were best pleased to say that, but nevertheless, thank you so much, CFO. Can I see hands that want to have the bite on this presentation? Honorable members, can I see hands for me to know them? Honorable Kavanjava, Honorable Mpumza, Honorable Kou. Is that all? Okay. Is that? Did you read that? Okay.
Oh, thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. Good morning, Minister and Deputy Minister. Chairperson, as a demarcation board, I'll start with the boundaries of demarcation board. When they put boundaries to those demarcated wards or demarcation, don't they think that they will be having a negative impact to those wards, while they will cause make the community to be cross and starting to go to the street and burning tires? I can, Chair, talk about the burning issue of one. We are sick and tired, Comrade Chairperson, about the Fwani community who are crying every day. The first one, it was Tsongwe. The second one is one. Can't the demarcation board maybe, before they go and demarcate, because I can see in page, sorry, Chair.
Take your time.
Okay, oh, I don't know where that page is. Oh, okay. I can see in page 18, they do have researchers, program 3. They do have researchers. What did they do, those researchers, if they didn't go to research before you start even to implement your democracy to the world or to the region or to the sub-region, whatever? But what did they do, those researchers? Because you said that you have researchers and knowledge management, yes. Why don't they think that they must go and use their knowledge to research to the area of the community that you demarcate before you demarcate and come back to you and tell you that here there will be this and that negative impact to this community? Can't you maybe try to squeeze to go somewhere else? Maybe that can be okay. Because you see, Comrade, you are costing us as people of South Africa. You are costing people of South Africa a lot. Remember, people, when they are cross, they're starting to burn schools, burning libraries, burning roads. You are keep quiet. at the corner there, you are democrating only. When you finish democrat, you go back where you come from, you sit down. People, they are costing even our children. They are not going to school to be educated. You are educated. You finish. Your way is finished. You are fine. What about these kids who are not going to school? What are you saying on that? You demarcation board, what are you saying on that? When the kids are not going to school, when the roads are banned, schools are banned, clinics are banned, libraries are banned because of the demarcation board. Don't you think we are costing the South Africans? Don't you? Because, chair, through your chair, the demarcation board must go down and sit down and research and check thoroughly to this work that they are doing. Because it doesn't assist the South African. We need things that will assist the South African. The South African will be happy in these 25 years on their democracy. We want to help us. We want to be a help in South Africa. Because if we are not doing that, and there is this thing of, check through your chair, there is this thing of saying, you saying, communication board of the town. Oh, God. I'm going to pull you along. Through you, Chairperson, can you clarify in the page 13 the issue of unaudited performance? What is that? I can't understand because I'm not in your department. Maybe you clarify it. Why is there is an unaudited performance? What is the meaning of that? Because I'm... Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mkomka.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The Minister and Deputy Ministers, their colleagues. Chair, the mission of the entity raises an issue of facilitating the socio-economic mission of municipalities. But the demarcation process, and the chair has indicated that the demarcation board is positioned at a national level. It doesn't have a print in the province or regions. And as a result, the likelihood is that the work of the board in those provinces might have unintended consequences. The first one relates to one, I think the chair indicated that while the key strategic purpose of the board, that what they should be achieving is de-racializing and de-tribalizing the wards and the municipalities, so that indeed to achieve the non-racial, non-sexist society, democratic society of the local state. But when you look at one critical factor that they are at a national level, that tells you that their approach in the demarcating process, because they are not physically present in the provinces, would actually be that of a desktop research study. And as a result, the outcome would not be that one, that the desired outcome that they are intended to set up.
We are looking at the way the demarcation board redetermines the outer boundaries of municipalities. And when you look at it, you find that in some instances, I don't know whether what diagnostic study or tool they are using, that would allow them to arrive at a determination wherein they would actually redetermine outer boundaries, re-establish some member municipalities, and at the same time reconfigure them. And in that reconfiguration, you find that stable municipalities, in the process of that reconfiguration, they are destabilized. To the extent that some municipalities that have been redemarcated, that they have been destabilized by the demarcation process, they have now to be put under administration. We have had two instances, and many more, in some of the provinces. And the cause of effect, it might be this demarcation, because the municipalities were stable before. Now, after being reconfigured, they just degenerated in terms of governance and the financial management and everything. Perhaps, which begin to say, therefore, the demarcation tool or the study was flawed from the beginning, because it gave an outcome that is now flawed in itself. We have instances where now we have member municipalities who are struggling, who have been destabilized. And it appears that it will take some time to actually stabilize those municipalities. Because even these interventions, they seem not to be assisting, because it indicates that we have actually meshed financially unsound institutions with no revenue at all, and then they will never be taken. Then we begin to say, perhaps we need to look at a proper way of that is in our process of demarcation, so that we don't actually intervene and don't achieve the desired objective. The second point, Chair, that I would come to in the assessment of member municipalities again. To what extent is that when we're assessing these municipalities, that the recommendation that the board is making are not impacting on the assigned the powers and functions of municipalities, which would actually negate the instruction of Section 154 Constitution to provide support and build capabilities? Because out of these assessments, perhaps a recommendation might be a certain power and function assigned to that municipality. The MEC might take it away and then give it to a district. And tomorrow, another section, that power is taken away from the district to the local municipality. Then, which means the governance and stability in that institution would not exist. Perhaps the window period, it would be proper that the window period in the assessment of municipalities might not be within the 5-year period. Perhaps we look at extending over a 10-year period. So that we are in a position. The purpose is that when we're building a local state, you want to ensure that the organizational and technical capacity is actually developed so that the institution might be stable and perform the functional capacity. So now the board is indicating also that it itself they are capacity problem. The chair was indicating that the board is unable to retain its personnel. And then the challenge is that internal capacity does not exist. And then what is the board that is bringing forward as part of addressing those particular gaps so that the board could be technically and governance capable to carry out the very mandate that is given in full? Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Tom.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson, our Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, and everybody present. I think the issue of demarcation, okay, he has covered me, but the issue on SASA, then I've just heard that the municipalities
were not performing well, and you mentioned clearly that you were helping them. But now my question will be, those municipalities that were not performing well, what did you do in making sure that they perform well? Because here you have mentioned that you are going to invite the mayors, the municipal managers, and maybe the councillors to come and have some discussion and come up with your strategic plan of how are we going to move forward. But now, in realizing that this has not been, you know, going on, and by the way, this is our country, we need to come up with our own thinking that what will take us forward. I'm thinking that maybe if you, the SALGA, and others, you identify a university and go there and have a thorough discussion about these issues. Because I think next time we'll come back again and say, we are having so 14 municipalities or 20 municipalities that did not perform well. Rather than saying, let's go out and come and find other solutions that will take our municipalities forward, identify the universities, have a thorough discussion, and then I think the outcome will tell and will make us, our country, to move forward. I thank you. Because we can, like now, okay, they didn't perform well, but maybe somewhere, somehow, you know what are the problems. And the problems, I think it has long been there, not being able to be solved. But if we can do that, I think, and even if we can identify the universities and involve some lecturers and other students, I think we'll move forward. And with the issue of demarcation, I don't want to say much because he has said a mouthful, but the issue of demarcation, start it now. Then get the councillors, be well, you know, empowered, and also when they put in the committee of being part of the demarcation, they should be there, not saying today, no, I'm not going to attend, you know, the demarcation meeting because of ABCD, but they should always be there so that we can move forward. I thank you.
Honorable Director.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is on the issue of Buwani in Limpopo, to say what are the possibilities of the demarcation board in reviewing their decisions, if their decision is costing the government. And the other issue, I'm raising this because during this election, there was a situation where the resident in that area decided, community members decided not to vote because they were not happy about the decision. And then the other issue is we are having a challenge of the municipalities. Some of the municipalities are not viable at all. What are the possibilities of amalgamation in order to assist us to deal with the challenges that we find in that municipality, in those municipalities? Thank you.
Thank you. Can you sit up that mic? Mine is on the slide 12. In particular, outreach program. I hear the CFO saying that there's not enough funds to do outreach program, because that's where, as the other colleagues have raised, the matter arises. Some don't understand this demarcation processes. There's a lack of understanding of how this demarcation. I don't think you are doing enough. But then I'm glad the minister is here, the deputy ministers are here, and I think it's time also the two DGs are here. Out of your huge allocated budget, if you can support this entity for it to be able to do their work. Because honestly, the way that thing is done, there's not enough consultation if we are to be fair. You bring these technical people there, you call others in a way because you have got various stakeholders that you have to deal with. Those of us who come from tribal areas, you find a situation wherein you demarcate one traditional authority into belong to three municipalities. It's happening. And you are creating problems, they are creating problems for your people, Honorable Bapela, for that chief to able to manage, because if there are meetings in three councils, they won't be there in three different councils. And it's also creating division, because the other municipality will be delivering, the other is not delivering, but they are within the same locality. That's why I'm saying at times, the way it's done, we must move away, as Honorable Gigi has said, from desktop assessment, also then, as they do that, do they really go? Because the map will tell you the other thing, because my assumption was that this is done on a desktop basis. And then if we have vigorous consultations, because I know also of instances wherein people will go and put submissions, but at the end of the day, the boundaries remain unchanged. To say, you will see that this thing, there's never been any consideration, and then we are just doing this a consultation is a malicious compliance aspect of it. That's why we have this problem. And as Mam Kize has said, you are creating problems for everybody. We're saying it here to say, I think we need to then, whatever you do, allocate money on your stakeholder engagement. Try to reprioritize and make sure that you allocate money for that for those outreach programs. Mr. Sigidi, you raise a very critical issue on the assessment of municipal capacity. I think SAGA also must come to the picture here, because indeed they do produce reports, but the colleagues in the municipalities don't even bother to read those documents, and also then that's the other difficulty. But it's also when you are operating in silence. If you start to compliment each other, I'm glad the minister and the DM are here, so that then SAGA is also here now, so that when you produce that report, let's make it mandatory that all municipalities, they are commenting, they are giving inputs. It assists, because then it also becomes a fruitless expenditure at the end. The futile exercise that you go through, then those reports, when you produce them, they are just put aside, they are not attended to. I think that's the issue that you say you need to, should end up in saying that your stakeholders are not utilizing your reports. How do we make sure that they utilize the reports as you produce? Because I don't think that's your objective, to get the reports produced and then they go and lie somewhere, remain underutilized. I don't think that's it. And it should be your problem. It shouldn't be the other people's problem, because then you should be curious to say, why do we produce reports and then people don't act? But we'll try to make sure through the assistance of SAGA. I think that's the message that's very clear, because that's the main cause of the problem. Then the other issue that I wanted to raise, I think I'll also be dealing with Mam Kizwe's issue. You are on an audited financial statement. I see you are very much optimistic. That's what you are trying to do, to say the year end has come to the end. This is what you think is going to happen when they come and audit you. But bearing this in mind, that let's look at your previous financial year audit report. Have you managed to address all those issues as raised by the Auditor General? I know you have developed an audit implement action plan. Have you implemented it fully? Because the way, as I go through your annual report, there are a lot of matters of interest. And we have indicated to the other colleagues yesterday to say that it's cut across the three entities to say we'll have to look at your quarterly report. Like, as we're speaking, you are, we're at the end, the other quarter has begun on the 1st of July. These are the issues that we want to look at, so that we don't react at the end of the year when the reports are produced. We want to monitor. That is our role as the Oversight Committee, to make sure that we see that. So I would love to get a report on your side to see, you share with us your audit action plan and the status. Mam Kizwe, they think when they get audited, they're going to get a very clean audit. That's what they think. And they also put it in their projections here, come the next financial year. The beauty about that, you put it at our disposal. So you must deliver, because this is what you are saying. You projected that this current financial year is going to get a clean audit moving forward. So that's very good. We want to watch that and see that happening. Then the other issue that I wanted to raise, yes, you have hosted the conference on page 12, and you have produced a very beautiful book. I think this one, it's available, colleagues, at the stores of Parliament for some of you who want to go through it. And I'm excited that you are saying the board is considering some of the aspects that have come out of the conference. Are you able to prepare for us, also as a committee, the highlights on this report? And then what is your thinking? That will also assist us as we prepare towards the development of our strategic planning session. That's my input on the matter. Over to you, Chairperson and the team.
Thanks, Chairperson, members of the committee, my minister and deputy ministers. Let me first acknowledge that, Chairperson, much needs to be done. Actually, we have already written to the minister. We're waiting for the minister to sort of get settled so that we also can be able to brief the ministry, if I must say, on critical matters pertaining to issues that members have already raised, Vuani, Kokwe, and so forth. I must indicate, Chairperson, from our analysis, and we'll explain more, and maybe if the committee allows, we should have a session where we come and explain. So, because here we were more dealing with the performance plans, I would not really, but I think just to get the gift, you know, to get into one matter, we will also explain the issue of one. But mainly, it's not only one, there are many. It's just that they might not be making more noise, actually. Chairperson, the problem that we are having in this country, it's not mostly on the determination of the boundaries. The issue is when our communities realize that on the other side, the grass is greener. Mm-hmm. In other words, people there are enjoying the benefit of services and we are on this side, we are left. Mm-hmm. Then there is pressure that you then extend the boundaries so that we also become part of the other greener side. Unfortunately, when you do that, you then get to the point where we already, a member has indicated, the municipality that was functioning, it ends up not functioning because it can't accommodate and provide services now to a larger, should I say, population and community. So those are the, I would rather we go to specific in that meeting, Chairperson, which you would call us, to look into these matters. But what we have done as the board, as the new board, we have written to all premiers that here we are ready to work with the provinces. As I'm talking to this committee, we have written to all the MECs to request them that we address each province, the MECs in the McLaughlin, in the MECs mayors forums. We address them on the critical issues per province. We already have the template and the reports on issues that we want to raise with those MECs on the matters that they are faced with. It is those matters pertaining to community request instability and so forth, like in Kokwe, and also the issue of assessment of municipalities. Our intention is to lobby our colleagues to say we would need to meet on a quarterly basis after we have presented those reports. As we have seen, things like that, members are assigned to provinces. That, in other words, even if we don't have the legislative power to enforce municipalities, say, we have realized these are your weaknesses, address them quickly. We can't force. But the intention is to try to say to the MECs, on quarterly basis, let's meet also with those mayors and their municipal managers to see how far have we got in addressing issues that are raised in the municipal assessment. And also, of course, including these issues that I'm raising, like in Clock, where you'll find that it is not the issue of demarcation, it's more of the grass being greener on the other side, instead of remaining this side. And be able to say, please, provide the services there, instead of using this tool inappropriately, because we'll keep on demarcating the country forever. And two, we have agreed as the board, we are not going to have outer boundaries redetermined every 5 years. Because you don't give the municipality sufficient time to stabilize, as the member has indicated. Three, when in my opening remarks I've indicated to members, we would love to have smooth elections, obviously relatively smooth. In other words, we would not necessarily be looking into the redetermination of outer boundaries now. We have issued a circular to all provinces. We will explain to the committee in that meeting where we are saying the redetermination of outer boundaries should be considered after our 2021 elections. Because if we start with one area, then all members know how many would want to see themselves in a different... The issue is not the boundary. The issue most of the time is the service delivery, where I am. I would rather be in other place simply because I don't get what I'm supposed to be deserving in my space. So we have requested those meetings with the MECs. They are busy responding when they are having their MECLOCA, those meetings. Our intention is to have those meetings as early as not the end of August, starting from now. For instance, we will be meeting next week with the MEC for COPTA in Eastern Cape, you know, before, obviously, we have that to make local meeting. So I'm trying to indicate to the board, we are doing something about the issues that you are concerned about in regard to these matters. It is true, members. I was privately indicating to the CEO the other day that I might end up going and have a sitting in the minister's office to address as an activist, to address some of the issues that have been raised. Apparently, the issues of capacity and funding, they've been raised even prior this board being there, when we check the reports. It is true. Nobody knows what is this board. What is it all about? Actually, it's a nuisance instead of a problem solver. So we basically are looking into this matter to say we need to have a footprint in provinces so that you understand the dynamics there. As you are saying, Chairperson, it's like maybe we have been having a desktop analysis and then we present, as members are indicating, the boundaries and so on. But these are costly exercises given the fact that we understand also the pressures that the country is faced when it comes to resources, your ESCOM and so forth. But we can find a way of having, in stages, having sort of a footprint in some of the provinces. And that's what we will be proposing to the minister when we meet in looking into these issues. But when we have a formal meeting with the minister on the the challenges and what, and also accounting to what basically will we be doing. But the main thing, members, is that in some instances, unfortunately, in our country, those who make much noise, they also instigate and call for more instability and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
In my opening remarks, I have indicated we are not going to reverse the tide of de-racializing our spaces, simply because now I want. We are from the history where municipalities were even divided in terms of your languages,
mm-hmm.
Sotho section, Zulu section, Xhosa mm-hmm. section, Tswana section. We are from the history.
Yes. And the section.
We are from the history of the homelands, for instance, when it comes to the Vuani issue, where we had the Tswanensi and we also had the Mpepos. And the legacy of that history is still there, that we were never loved, simply because we are speaking a particular language. And the psyche there is still there, and it's something that basically is cannot be addressed by the demarcation board in the sense of having my own Shangan municipality, Lenda municipality. Because then we basically are working against our democratic principle of having a united non-racial South Africa. The board needs to be very mindful of some of the requests, because some of the requests are not considerate of these issues and principles. It's more about, will I be able to do business easy here? So it goes to back to the issue of the capacity of the municipality to provide livelihoods to its citizens in a particular area. So, and if those things are not addressed proper, they then end up being couched in traditional terms, in ethnic terms, and so forth. And those are more of political matters rather than on demarcation, if I must say, matters that we will be working with the committee and the minister to handle. But yes, of course, this shortage or weakness of not having sort of provincial presence, it has cost a lot when it comes to examples that members have indicated in rural areas and so forth. And in some cases, when you reconfigure the municipality, you find that some elements are not adequately addressed, like deepening the democracy. Then because now you have brought two municipalities together, there is no more a councillor for a very large area.
Mm-hmm.
Take your analogy. And then, instead of deepening democracy, basically you have weakened it.
Mm.
All those type of matters, at the moment, the board is looking into them. And we will be able to explain to the committee when we are called. But I would give, if you allow, Chairperson, the CEO to address also on the issues of the audit, including, of course, just to highlight on one aspect of this issue. Not because he comes from the area, but just to give that, and to request the support from the committee, let me indicate, Chairperson, if you allow, that we support the move that we don't disturb outer boundaries until we have gone through the election, because we want in this country to have smooth elections. We will, after the ministers publish the formula, we will quickly move, because it also takes time. We will quickly move into the ward limitations, its internal in other ways, because that's where also we are supposed to know how many citizens will be voting in this area and so on. The IEC would need that information, and we be in the mode to assist with elections whilst we are working with these municipalities on their issues pertaining to their lack of capacity and so forth. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe it's very difficult to come after the chairperson because one might provide an antithesis of what he has already provided. Let me limit myself to the area that is that I should focus on. It is more a clarity on the issue of when we say unaudited, predetermined performance information. We are not referring to the financials at the moment. What we have taken is the predetermined objective and say, from what we have submitted to the auditors who are currently auditing, our performance is at 96%. It's not the annual financials. When we present the annual report around September to the committee, either the performance might be maintained at 96% or it might go lower. So that is the reason why we say it is unaudited, because when the auditors come, they will want to the portfolio of evidence and everything else, not necessarily the financials, because the financials will present them then. Chair, the other matter that I needed to clarify is the issue of the clean audit. It is not for this current financial year, CFO. It is the one that we were hoping we will get in the next financial year, because there was issues that were emanating in the past which were going to affect our current audit opinion. The one other issue that I thought I need to respond to was the issue of the can't remember the name, Honorable
Chaba. X-A-B-A.
Pardon me, you know, I come from...
It comes from there, that's right.
On the issue of researchers, the research unit in the MDB is not an old unit. It was one of the things that were raised by the previous committee here to say, guys, you are doing your work on a desktop basis. Can you put together a sub-program on research? And that research unit had three individuals, but it was affected because of the nature of the kind of payment that we're making. Out of those three, two resigned, one went to Ekuruleni, the other one just left last week, is going to an agency. So we are left with one person in that research unit. And we have 257 municipalities, and if you look at the world, there are more than 4,000. So if you have one person, the only thing that this person will do is just to say, okay, fine, I have an application. When I have this application, look at some databases from the institutions that I've mentioned at a desktop level. So those are the issues that the chair was talking about in terms of capacitation of the MDB and issues of regionalization, because there are certain regional issues that you will not understand. Just an example, when I joined the board, I understood that somewhere in the Eastern Cape, when you are doing a redetermination, you need to have a historical understanding of those particular areas. It's not even about the language. There are other determinations that you need to think about, which are subjective elements to the redetermination. I think the issue of one is a very difficult one. I wanted to say I come from one, but it would be wrong. I stay in one. Now, one is a very complex area. And I've seen media reports, and I've been saying to the colleagues, even these media reports are wrong, because they are talking about one, and they are talking about a huge area. Which in the past, in the apartheid era, the Honorable Chair will know that Vuan was a district.
Yes.
Now, something happens in an area called Masakona, they say it has happened in Vuan. Something happens in Rwamondo, which is no longer part of Vuan, they say it has happened in Vuan. But the complexity of Vuan is that we shared with the former Minister Mkhize Minister last year when we were trying to say to him, there are this kind of complexities that we need to plan for when we are looking at any application that will be coming from that area. That area is a classic area where you can say there is integration of the Shangaan speaking people and the Venda speaking people. I speak Venda, but Navalabula and Shangaan. So you will find that over the years, that area of Wani Malamlele, there is nobody who stays in Malamlele who cannot speak Venda. And there are intermarriages in those areas. If you remember the Malamlele case before the Vuani case, one man is married to a Venda lady. He stopped from Malamlele. And this guy in Malamlele says, no, you leave your wife here because you can't speak Shanga. So those are some of the things that came. But I'm saying Vuani is a complex issue, but I want to align myself with the chairperson, Honorable Chair, so that when we sit with the committee, we share with the committee first in terms of what is it that goes into the issue of outer boundary redetermination, what are the issues that goes into the ward delimitation process, because the Honorable Member also mentioned the issue of the ward delimitation. With ward delimitation, we'll share with you the processes, and then you might understand certain things that happen, which result in one area belonging to one traditional leader either falling in two different wards. Recently, because I think communities and quite a number of people know that we have a new chairperson, we have been receiving several applications. As we sit now, I've got two from Mpumalanga, I've got two from Eastern Cape, I've got one from Gauteng, the one in Northwest, the chair has been dealing with. So we are receiving all these things, and that's why we're saying the best way is just to communicate, and we'll want everybody to communicate this, that at the current moment we want to focus on the ward delimitation processes. We'll open the outer boundary redetermination after the 2021 local government election. So Chair, if we can be allowed to say, maybe when you have that particular workshop, if you can come with the broader presentation, we can come with three different presentations, one on the broader redetermination process, one on the ward delimitation process, and one that the Chair has referred to on the capacity assessment results. Chair, you raised the issue of how do we ensure stakeholders use this particular report. When we did the current capacity assessment report, we used a different approach. First, we invited what we call an extended boundaries, powers, and function committee, which includes SALGA, provincial representatives, to draft the terms of reference for the capacity assessment that we have. We wrote to all municipal managers without depending on the service provider to say, this is the things that we require. Nobody was coming forward. You can see in the provincial reports, there is an indication of every province which municipality did not respond. And in those municipalities that were not responding, we decided to use secondary data for us to be able to finalize the report. When the report was finalized in February, we wrote again to municipal managers to say, just indicate to us if the information that has been captured represents your municipality. We got only about four responses out of the 249 municipalities. And I think those are four, one was in KZN. Yeah. KZN. So you can see that people are not necessarily reading some of these things, but we have been doing all these things so that at least when we finally release the report, nobody will come and say, but I was not necessarily informed. Let me leave it there, Honorable Chair, so that if we can start preparing for the workshop that you will be having, then we will share with you the even some of the nitty-gritties that are very technical in nature.
You see, I've opted to call Honorable Mam Kize because of that issue that you are having of trying to pronounce their names. I'm going to have a session with her. She will teach me. Then she wants to make a follow-up. Then I'll give the deputy ministers, if they've got something to say, then the minister will close up so that we can have a comfort break. Okay? Mam Kize, Honorable Brink, Deputy Minister, if you have got nothing to say, then the Minister will sum up and then we'll have a break.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the board for the answers. But I want to put this issue on record to the new board, a new elected board. I'm hoping that you will come with your new strategy now. Because I'm from KZN. KZN, we have a problem, big problem of, we have, can I talk about Umsinga? Umsinga have 7 Hoshis, Makos, Amachief, 7. In these 7 chiefs, if you are doing your demarcation board, you take half from Abatembe, I'm from Abatembe, of course. You take half from Abatembe, you take half from Amakun. You put him together to be a one ward councillor. Aye, that is a big mess and a big a confusion. Because the people who from Abatembe, we won't vote for the men from or women from Amakun. The people who from Amakun, we won't vote for a man from Abatembe or a woman from Abatembe. So that thing, it costs our people a lot. Can you come with your new plan as a new board to say you understand the boundaries of course? Of Amakos, Gutu Abatemba Pelala, Amatuna Pelala, when you do the demarcation of wards, you're putting accordingly the chief, so that we won't have this problem. We will have a serious problem. I'm in the ward 6 at the Msinga municipality, or what is that? Mzinyat municipality, ward 6, putting record. In that ward 6, yay! The problem. Amakunu, Abatembu combined together. And I remember, these people, they were fighting, they had that fight of even no mama mengagazala. They still have it in their mentality. To say, hey, this is a Mkunu, this is a Mtembu, we cannot be put together. That thing, it cost a lot. I'm telling you. It costs a lot within the community. It's the same like this Inkosi Uminga. When you are from Buan, Uminga. Inkosi Uminga, Inkosi Ubani. Inkosi Uminga means the 30 people. Minga. There is a hot Minga there in the Malamlele. Yeah, I know, I'm a grounded person. I know everything. There is a hot Minga. There is a hot Banban in this side. Khoshminga is this, I don't know, I come with a big road. Khoshminga is this side, the Malamlela Khosh is that side. They said, no. You cannot put us together. That is why they are fighting.
They are fighting for their stay.
Please, help us as a new board. Come with a new thing. Hire the researchers. Pay them money. So that they can do your work. Because if you don't have researchers, you will fail us. And you will fail your fans. You must have researchers. They will go all over and check this thing and come back with a tangible thing and a correct thing to you. So that when you do things correctly, tweak. Thank you.
You had it grounded. She knows better. Honorable Brink.
Thank you, Chair. From observation as well as the comments of the CEO, it's apparent that there's a great deal of reliance. There's a great deal of reliance on municipal managers, and that they are failing the board or they're failing the process of which they're meant to be part of. And I think it's not just in giving you information, but it's also in disseminating certain information to stakeholders in those municipalities. Perhaps it'd be a good idea for the board to discuss this with the minister or the department just to see if there's an escalation mechanism so that those 80% of municipal managers who simply don't respond to your correspondence can be named and shamed or brought to account somehow, or at least that their political leaders know that they are not doing what they're meant to do in this value chain. Thank you.
Okay. DM Mapela has changed his mind.
I touch him.
Yes, I was provoked by
Mamkis.
Honorable Member Mamkis. Maybe just 2 points, even when the minister speaks later. The first one is the budget, as Honorable Mamkis was saying. Researchers must be paid to do this and that. They've already indicated the shortfall of the budget. And you have already said, they have already indicated they will be meeting the minister once more, that this issue has been pending. It has been resolved and resolved and resolved. Can you use this activist portfolio element that gives an authority to even support the minister in the negotiations? Because ministers then negotiate in the mean budget. With Tick and Gabe and Tick and Gabe. Probably the portfolio committee might come and say, you are the citizen. And we are making this committee, the majority report, not to perform. Call the DG of Finance and say, what are you doing ever since this matter has been on the table? Use that activist mentality and the activism that I can see now is emerging in the portfolio committee to help us in the executive in some of these particular issues. And I would be glad if you do that. Then the second one is when the demarcation board responds, there has been an engagement on the issues of the traditional leaders. Theirs is bound, it's jurisdictions. They will never be the same like municipalities. Municipalities are there to provide services such as water, electricity, homes, and an additional whatever the mandate is. Whereas we call them jurisdictions because they are not providing services, but they do serve their people. But they don't give physical services like they don't render water and then so forth. Now, it's like the magistrates. They are not designed, the demarcation of the magistrate jurisdiction is not the same as the ward and municipalities, because the magistrates give a particular service. They adjudicate court and matters of conflict to resolve on whoever is guilty, and it's not based on municipal services per se. So traditional leaders are also in that space. And there has been a research done, and I think they will elaborate in the workshop, what are the outcomes, they've engaged the National House of Traditional Leaders, whether information does cascade down to provinces and then to the local traditional leaders council. That could be a gap probably that is there, so that we then have individual traditional leaders dramatizing on issues or feeling this way or that way, but those engagements have been there. The jurisdictions therefore will then be different. But I will then leave the demarcation board obviously to then come and share their research, to come and share the consultation. They did come to the department to also present on that particular consultation process. So that probably outside of this APP requirement now, they could then come back later. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DM. Minister?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think we've heard what the members are saying, particularly around the issue of 5 year demarcation, maybe 10 years for outer boundaries. But we will get a proper briefing first from the demarcation board and express our own views to them as well. And then we'll come back together for that workshop. But I also just wanted to say the gazette for the formula was signed last week Wednesday. So I'm not sure when the chair of the board says when the minister signs.
Publish.
Well, it was signed for publication, so I don't know. I'll check where the hold up is, but it was signed last week Wednesday. So thank you very much. I think this is a matter that is to be continued.
with a dedicated question for the board. But I also think we may, I think to the chair, that maybe we should also look at how we work together. I know we are all independent. Maybe where we can share some visas or some things like that. We will not be taking your powers or making you dependent, but if we have an individual, maybe we should be able to work together on those kind of meetings that we will be having also. But we'll come back, thank you. And let me just apologize that we're not here when you started. We started at our portfolio committee because we had a memo for the elections there that we had to present. Then we asked to be excused to join you. And in the afternoon, I won't be able to join you because I have to meet my other boss. You are my boss in Parliament.
I have many bosses.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Minister. On the issues of the indices, as the Minister is saying, that's workable. Remember, you are the entity that reports, despite your independence, because that gives you a platform to also market your services. And it does really work. Then you don't have to budget for those because you will be sharing the department budget. I think you need to consider that. It cuts across all the entities. CRL, SALGA, then, it minimizes. To say whenever they do the outreach, can you make sure that then you relate? They will always give you a platform. You go and showcase. People have interest, they will come. Because, seriously, you are known as a havoc cause. People don't understand what is your mandate. That's why there has to be this robust stakeholder outreach program. But nevertheless...
It also minimizes the city.
Okay. You're out of order. So I think we want to thank you. I wonder if you don't want to also listen to the SALGA presentation, but for those who need to go and work, the others will come in. And then when we proceed with the next item, because also the SALGA presentation, I think it also has an effect on your work as well. But can we break strictly 10 minutes, comfort break, tea, everything, and then CRL will be loading. By the time we come in here, we should see the CRL presentation there.
So you start everybody because you will leave.
Yes.
Okay. Congratulations. Okay. I was looking forward to working with you. You know you are a grounded state of things are going to happen. Yes, bro.
You're doing good. Keep it up. Master is over the South. He knows everything. Every problem.
Don't sit.
I'm very well, thank you. It's just that it's